So for the Sanskrit, I think Keshava can do that, please.
Sri Tamasa Uvacha.
Sri Tamasa Uvacha.
Mukha Bahuru Padibhya. Purushasya Shamaisaha. Chatvaro Jagire Varna. Gunai Vipadaya Pita. Sri Chamasa Uvacha. Mukha Bahuru Padibhya. Purushasya Shamaisaha. Chatvaro Jagire Varna. Gunair Vipradaya Pritak. Sri Chamasa Uvacha. Mukha Bahuru Padibhya. Purushasya Shamaisa. Chatvaro Jagire Varna. Gunair Vipradaya Pita. Okay, word for word. Sri Chamasa Uvacha.
Sri Chamasa Uvacha.
Sri Chamasa said. Mukha.
Mukham.
Face.
Bahu.
Bahu. Arms.
Arms.
Uru.
Uru.
Thighs.
Thighs.
Adibhya.
Adibhya.
From the feet.
From the feet.
Purushasya.
Purushasya.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Of the Supreme Lord.
Ashramai.
Ashramai.
The four spiritual orders.
The four spiritual orders.
Saha.
Saha.
With.
Yes.
Chatvara.
Chatvara.
Four.
Four.
Jagire.
Were born.
Varna.
The
social orders.
Gunai.
By the modes of nature.
By the modes of nature.
Vipra-adaya.
Vipra-adaya.
Headed by the Brahmins.
Headed by the Brahmins.
Pritak. Various.
Various. Translation. Sri Kamasa said, each of the four social orders, headed by the Brahmins, was born through different combinations of the modes of nature, from the face, arms, thighs, and the feet of the Supreme Lord in his universal form. Thus the four spiritual orders were also generated. purport. Those who are not spontaneously attracted to the devotional service of the Lord can be gradually purified by observing the Varnashram system of four social orders and four spiritual orders. According to Sridhar Swami, the Brahmins are born from the mode of goodness. Kshatriyas from a combination of goodness and passion. The Vaishyas of a combination of passion and ignorance, and the Sudras of the mode of ignorance. Just as the four social orders are born from the face, arms, thighs, and feet of the Lord's universal form, similarly the Brahmacharis are generated. Brahmacharis are generated from the heart of the Lord, the householders from his loins, the Varnapras from his chest, and the Sannyas from his head. A similar verse is found in the Rig Samhita 8:4:19, as well as the Sakaya Yajurveda and the Atharvaveda. And would you say that? Brahmano
Samukamasi Bahu Rajanyakita Uru Tarasya Yadasya.
The Brahmins appeared as his face, the king as his arms, the Vaishyas as his thighs, and the Sudras were born from his feet. It is understood that pure devotional service to the Lord has already been described by the two of the Yogindras, Dormila and Avirhotra. Kamasa Muni now describes the system of Varnashram Dharma because his system is meant to gradually purify those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord, bringing them back to their constitutional position of love of Godhead. Similarly, the Virata Rupa, or the universal form of the Lord, is an imaginary form meant to help the gross materialists gradually understand the position of the personality of Godhead. Since the foolish materialist cannot understand anything beyond matter, he is encouraged to see the entire universe as a personal form of the Supreme Lord's body. The impersonalist, impersonal conception of formlessness is a mere negation of the temporary material variety without any conception of the Lord's spiritual potency. The impersonal view is another kind of material speculative conception. The Supreme Lord is full of spiritual potencies under the principal headings Pladini, or the unlimited bliss, Samdini, or eternal existence, and Sanvit, or omniscience. It is understood from this verse that the Varnashram Dharma system generated from the universal form of the Lord is a program offered by the Lord to engage the conditioned souls in a complete social and religious system that will gradually bring them back home, back to Godhead. Om Agyantam Nirandasya Janajana Salataya Chaksum Militanyena Tadmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Sarito Pangor Mama Manda Matir Gati Matsarva Swapadambo Jo Radha Madana Mohan. So Srila Prabhupada has opened our understanding, which from hearing, so we can see things now. So we're like revisiting an old topic, the Varnashram system. But if we look at a little of the context, if we look at yesterday's verse just to see how it relates to today's verse, because it seems like another topic. King Nimi further inquired, "My dear Yogindras, all of you are most perfect in knowledge of the science of the self. Therefore, kindly explain to me the destination of those who for the most part never worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who are unable to quench their material desires and who are not in control of their selves. So then today's verse is the beginning of the explanation of what to do. So the Varnashram system is a good starting point for understanding almost all of our philosophy. It explains it both in a negative way and in a positive way, but it gets us to understand. So if we've noticed, Krishna consciousness is a change of consciousness. And as we get involved with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we understand through the Bhagavad Gita that consciousness is not a material element. It's eternal. Never there was a time that we did not exist, nor all the kings, Krishna says, nor in the future will any of us cease to be. So just taking that one point, how are we to understand it? We have become, Prabhupada said, consciousness is now polluted by material atmosphere. That's how one time he said it. So in our polluted condition of consciousness, we identify with the material energy. I think most of us can identify with that statement, that we're starting off identifying with this body, and this body is not just a body. We've been embodied for a very long time, basically since time immemorial, and our subtle body goes with us from one body to the next. And in that subtle body, there's many impressions of desires and habits, things that we want to do, reactions from our past activities, that we're not understanding how this environment is interacting with us. We more or less think that we're independent. And independent, sometimes when you're very happy and you're doing so many, things are going nicely. We don't have too much experience of that in Kali Yuga. But once in a while, things do go nicely. And as soon as they go nicely, you start to think, well, I could do anything and still keep this nicety going. That's what it means to think that you're independent. You're not recognizing that whatever good is taking place is simply a reaction to your past good activities. And as soon as you have this conception of independence, not recognizing the interaction between your consciousness and the body that you're in, you dare to do things that, it says, a fool rushes in where angels fear to tread. So for that situation, we're being educated on understanding that this material world and the Vedas are explained that with due regard for cause and effect. So this cause and effect, this helps us understand a little bit that we're not independent. Because if we boil it down or take a look back a little, we can see that the quality of our consciousness affects everything. We're going from, we want to enjoy, that's hardwired into us, so to speak, from the nature of the soul, anandamoya vyasa. By nature, we're happy, so we want to be happy, but in ignorance, we do the things that will not bring us actual happiness. So, in this verse here, I'm sorry, I kind of lost the train. I'm going to point out how this social system, but mostly the starting point of the social system is pointing out how it goes wrong. As the rest of the chapter progresses, it's going to point out the, even though it's arranged by Krishna and it can be done correctly, we mostly can find that out about everything. You can do something right, but you can also do unlimited ways to do it wrong. And just like sometimes I do mechanicking work, and it only works one way, but there's unlimited ways to get it not to work correctly. And then when you do get it right, you start to get proud because you don't recognize that Krishna allowed you to do it correctly. So we find that a lot of times people that are more conscious of that, they always give thanks to Krishna for allowing me to be instrumental and experiencing this. So how they're going to do it wrong. So first I thought I'd read, because as I was pointing out, that this is a good starting point to add all the philosophy. Because we find here, there's already an assumption that you understand what the modes of nature are. It says, you know, that each one of these positions of life is according to the modes of nature. And what is the symptom of the mode of Kali? What did they say? Kalu Sudra Sambhava. That in this age of Kali that we're in, everybody's born a Sudra. So in Varnashram Dharma, one of the very first transgressions that happened by Maharaj Parikit Srini is, it says a Brahmin is in the mode of goodness. However, that's guna karma, that Krishna explains that these varnashram is according to your quality of your consciousness and the work that you do because of that quality. However, the first place that are automatic immediately started off wrong is by birth. It doesn't say birth any place, it says by your quality. So already it's being shifted. But we're going to concentrate a little bit on how it would be if it was being done correctly. And this is a conversation that took place with Lord Chaitanya. And he brought clarification for so many things that Krishna presents. But because of the time element, we weren't qualified anymore to even understand the most basic of philosophy. As devotees, our whole life is explained by philosophy. It's kind of a language that explains, like a technical language that explains what's actually going on. You can do it without knowing the technical parts, but it's philosophy. Actually, that's a Greek word that means love of truth. And the Sanskrit word is darshan, to see the tattva, darshan, to see the truth, to see the tattva. And then if you just take a moment to think about what is it that we see. One time I was thinking about becoming a teacher for philosophy, and I thought the first day we would just have a quiz. It won't be counted. And you would just have answer these questions about how you see things. It's something like in psychology, they have a thing called the ink blot test. Anybody familiar with that? Have you heard about it? They just show a form on a piece of paper, yeah, generally, and they, probably now it's on a screen, computer screen, but they would ask you, what do you see when you look at this? So it's the same idea for philosophy. With what you said, they could understand your how your mind, psyche, your psychologist, science of the mind, they would be able to see how your mind is functioning. So the same way, how do we see things right now? We can also reverse engineer, or look at it backwards and see what you're seeing tells where what your philosophy is, not so much the philosophy that you say, but the philosophy that you live. When the two are connected, you have an acharya, prachar achar. You know, not only what they say, but what they say now. He walks the talk. So that's the acharya. He does what he says. And what is it that we see? So generally, we're being trained to see without designations. This is the material disease, is called designations. And it means that there's things that are eternal, and then there's things that are temporary. So because the tattva, one has to see the eternal and also see the temporary and how they're interacting. So when one sees that, it's because he's out of it. Well, that can be taken a couple different ways, depending on how someone says it. He's really out of it. It connotates in a negative way. But also, if he's not under the modes of nature, he can see the modes of nature. And in the brahminical status, he gets the opportunity to transition, to see it, and try to stay in that condition. But it's a change of heart. What we're going from in the consciousness is from overlording independence, thought of independence, a thought of overlording, with is in ignorance, to service, how to always be in service attitude. In that service attitude, that's part of our constitutional, that is our constitutional position. Jivera Supoi Krishna Nichidas. We're always serving. But if we serve in ignorance, because you can't really stop serving, that's your dharma, is dharma in the sense of the word, when it's used as an inseparable quality, like fire, light and heat, water, liquidity, sugar, sweet. So the consciousness is that it's aware and it serves. So you can't stop it. So this varna and ashram, since you have the service, why not connect it to Krishna according to where you are? So according to where you are in your modes of nature, which I think Dear Govinda Prabhu at one time did a BTG survey, where if you ask questions without knowing what he has in mind, you may answer him without becoming swayed by what you think he wants to hear. You know, like I know a couple times I would ask my daughter questions, but she knew what I wanted to hear and she would tell me that as opposed to what you really thought. I don't know if anybody's experienced that, but anyway. So at the same time, so you use trick questions. You can't handle the truth, a famous line that was used in a movie some time ago. I think A Few Good Men. But so we would see what mode of nature we're in, and then you would be engaged according to that way, but it was being done with a government that was supportive, just like we know about the incarnation of administration, Maharaj Prithu. In a different yuga, he engaged the taxes that he collected from the citizens to do big sacrifices. And that way, all the citizens got the benefit of doing sacrifice because the government was the link that would connect them to it. Presently, we don't think that way of the leaders, that they're going to engage all the taxes in sacrifice. Not too often that happens. So, but previous was like that. So the Varnashram system, according to the way that you were engaged, like every one of us, you can do some engagement that comes natural to you. So natural to you, the you part is the Atma in the sense that it's also being used as the body. So you have a natural tendency in your body to do certain things. So that would be engaged, and it would be engaged in a way that it could be offered by the overall system. Of course, we know Lord Chaitanya. I got the book open. I haven't read it, though. Where he asked, Ramananda Roy approached Lord Chaitanya and offered his respectful obeisances. The Lord embraced him, and they both began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. So, of course, each word is like a sutra for us that needs to have explanation. Why it's in a secluded place? Because this is not for everyone to hear. There's misunderstanding, both directly and indirectly. Where in Sri Upanishad it says, one should understand the process of nescience and transcendental knowledge side by side. So every time you do something, there's always how to do it and the prohibition on how not to do it wrong. And actually, most of the time, we still do it wrong. It's much more difficult to do anything right. easy to do things wrong. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. So there's sadhya and sadhana. Sadhya means what is the goal of what you're doing, and sadhana means how do you attain that goal? What is the practice that will deliver you to this goal? So we have a sadhana, and our sadhya is love of God, and we're following Srila Prabhupada in disciplic succession, specifically teaching the Lord Chaitanya's program. So he asked for from the revealed scriptures, because that's the standard of proof. There's different proofs. There's logic, direct perception, and shastra, scriptures. So the direct perception, seeing, believing, the senses have four defects. So maybe it's right, maybe it's not, but it's limited. It's an empirical observation that's runs through many things, and empiricism already comes with programming. It says every living entity is born in 727. Everyone's born into delusion, overcome by desire and hate. So as soon as you take on a body, it comes already with delusion and desire and hate. And there's five other conditions that Lord Brahma thanklessly had the task to provide, is the, what to do. So when you come into this bodily conception of life, when you're born, you already have predispositions for some things, prejudice. You like something, you don't like it. And a civilized man, he's the animals, they don't think anything of it. They just do what they want to do. The human being is called the rational animal because he can think about it a little bit more, but he's still conditioned. And then above rational is the intelligence. You can actually go to bhuvanaswa. So you can go to the intelligent position where you can actually review that. Is this it's something like reason, but it has more control. And then besides all taught that, there's vijnanamoya stage, where just like in 1511 it says the endeavoring transcendentalist can see all this clearly. So because we're hearing every day, our consciousness is being upgraded. Grade. There's a standard grade. It's like a standard. Okay, so it's up to the grade. And then there's below grade. And then there's upgrade. So we're upgrading our consciousness and coming to recognize that our consciousness, when it's not, that's how we know things. We know things through our consciousness. That's how you know. So, Savitur. It's a vijnana stage. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions the different stages of realization. They mix a little, but there still can be said. And there's when you realize the necessity for food to eat, that's Brahman, Anamoya, Pranamoya, Jnanamoya, and the Vijnanamoya stage, one can see. He sees, but what is he seeing with? And where is he getting that platform to a view? He's seeing himself separate from the body and the mind. He can see that clearly, just like that 1511. But you can't really understand it until you're there. So you follow a process and you associate with similarly minded people and you discuss it. Matchitta Param Bogiantam Parasparam What's the next word? What was it again? They actually is very enlivening to discuss these things, because other than the association of devotees, practically speaking, there isn't anybody else who can even understand what you're talking about. So you say, take some prasadam and chant Hare Krishna, and then we'll talk. You know, so that's also, you can think of it that we all want to talk with Krishna. So if you ask Krishna, when can we talk? He says, well, after you're out of the modes of nature, come back and we'll talk then. You know, so we still have a little bit of work to do. I call it homework. It's kind of a new definition. Home, going back home, and the work that you do, the two fingers, your endeavor to precipitate the Lord's mercy. Yesha Prashado, Bhagava Prashado. Prabhupada, he'd explain that. We can't really approach Krishna, but he sends his representative, and if you please his representative, then Krishna is pleased. Because sometimes, you know, in Krishna consciousness, it can be taken kind of too easily, the understanding of these great, wonderful mysteries of the universe that no one can understand, but it gets revealed to you by this process. Krishna told the Lord Brahma, you may take it up carefully, and all of me, my name, form, qualities, will be revealed to you by factual realization. So, in this one, I almost made it. It says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy to recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda replied that if one executes his prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. So it's always, this is like the starting point. We see that it starts. Of course, Lord Chaitanya, he's came with a particular mission. He's not just any, I don't know if it's even proper to say an ordinary avatar. All the Krishna, every time he comes, is extraordinary. But still, amongst all the extraordinary different ways and different times that he comes, when Lord Chaitanya came, he had a specific mission that mentioned his confidential reasons for coming, Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, to understand the glories of Radharani's love. So Krishna came with an internal mission as well as an external mission. So the Varnashram system is part of the external mission to reestablish religious principles. So Lord Chaitanya, even after he hears this, he says, it's external for what Lord Chaitanya is looking for. Lord Chaitanya, he has a specific agenda where love of God generally is in awe and veneration. And he kind of says, personally, it doesn't work very well for him. And it's everywhere, but you need to have the proper instructions how to do it. Otherwise, it's very offensive. We had this story with Narada Muni asking for the dust to Krishna. One day he was feeling poorly, and he said the only thing that will make him feel better is the dust from the devotee's feet. So he asked Narada Muni to go get some. So Narada Muni, he goes, because Krishna always does everything. The messengers who he sends is also something for them too. He's expert in everything he does. So everybody he would ask to do, they would say, I can't put the dust from my feet on Krishna's head. I'd go to hell. So that's Dharma. We're learning a little bit about Dharma. Of course, when Krishna, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sarva Dharma Pratyaja. He says, give up all Dharma. But doesn't Krishna come to reestablish Dharma? How come Krishna says, give up Dharma, if he says you have to do your Dharma? So in this story with the gopis, they came, the Krishna's headache and the dust, after seeing how he wasn't going to get any dust from anybody, nobody was going to do it, Braja Badu, He went to see our topmost teachers. These are our teachers. This is the mood that we're supposed to be developing. It's just the mood of the gopis. And he asked them for the dust. And they said, sure. It wasn't a hesitation. Do not fear, do not hesitate. Sarvadhammas translated sometimes differently, but sometimes says don't hesitate. Don't fear, don't worry. So immediately they gave the dust from their feet. And Narada Muni, he inquired from them, well, aren't you worried about that? Which is certainly a concern. You're going to hell for this. And they said, it doesn't make any difference. So even in that's 10th canto, but in the 6th canto, is it? Narayana Parayana, where it mentions that Mother Parvati got angry at Tritaketu for laughing at Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and cursed him to become a demon. And he didn't mind. He says, oh, will that please you? Because the devotees are in a service mood. All that we're learning how to do is to stay in a service mood no matter what. Because Krishna is all good. In ignorance, we think this body, just I am this body, but it's a production of all our accumulated karma and up to date right now. And every person we come in contact with, it's choreographed by the modes of nature, Krishna's external energy, everything that's happening. In fact, before I became a regular devotee, in my earlier life, I also used to think from time to time, and I came up with the idea that everything is cycling. You know, and there's no coincidences. So with those two things, if everything, there's no coincidences. Because just like, you know, when you get into a car accident, they call it an accident, but most people say it was destiny. You know, that's how things work, that not there isn't any accidents. Or they call it from ignorance, oh, good luck, bad luck. But as we get trained out of that to see Krishna's omniscience, his potencies and everything, his direction, because we usually have one definition of God is he's controlling everything. They're working on trying to change that, but I mean, that was originally the idea, and God we trust, he's doing everything. So one understands that, and if you can stay in the service mood, just like yesterday, Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami, he mentions, the 10:14:8 verse, Tatenu Kampam verse, and he called it something special. Janmashtami. Janmashtami. What was it that you called the 10:14:8 verse yesterday? A Mahavakyam, which I don't know if everybody knows what that means. The emperor. Like an emperor verse type of thing. So that aspect, that verse that Lord Brahma, he quotes, and Srila Prabhupada also gives a tremendous amount of encouragement to memorize that verse, and to he has it in the Nectar of Devotion under the chapter of expecting the Lord's mercy. He says, because we're in a conditioned life, no one should expect immediate relief from all of his past activities. He says, the conditioned life means going through the actions and suffering and enjoyment of your past life. So he says, but if you do it with this mood of not changing your service mood towards Krishna, then you can be liberated, just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one who's unaffected by happiness and distress, who's steady in both, he's eligible for liberation. So this, and in that verse, it's Muktipadayabak, that all the liberations, that's why it's Mukti, all five types of liberation come from Krishna's lotus feet, and it becomes your rightful inheritance. So, did you put it up? Is that what you got up there? I don't know what you got up there. Oh yeah. Maybe you could read it with the microphone.
My dear Lord, one who has honestly waits for you to bestow your boundless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim.
So Prabhupada mentioned that this is the mood for the devotee, that he doesn't consider how his suffering is being delivered to be the cause of his suffering. Just like if you buy something on a credit card, it didn't cost you anything. And if the mailman brings you the letter, you should be upset with the mailman, because he's the one who's bringing the bill to you. I guess nowadays it's the internet. You just get it taken out of your account. But it used to be the mailman. So whether he brings you the bill or whether he brings you your check, he's just doing the service. So when one's free from designations, he doesn't see that the person who is delivering his reaction to his past activities to be the actual cause of his suffering. And he also understands that the soul doesn't have anything to do with the material energy either. So where's the position of the soul? So our point is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So one time, a devotee in the early days, he said he wanted to always see Krishna, so he painted them on his glasses. So that's not actually how it works. So if you just say, I always remember Krishna, Krishna, just when you say Krishna, he's also there, and that form is also Krishna, so his qualities, name, forms. But it's evolved in our consciousness of Krishna's, the philosophy, the tattva vit. He sees the way Krishna explains the Bhagavad Gita. He sees in everything those five items. The five items is just Krishna's there, the living entity's there, eternal time, it's eternal, so you're not, it's, time's there. The material energy is also eternal, it's just changing its forms. And then the karma, the living entity. So just like how Christ said, hate the sin, not the sinner. He wanted you, the same idea is that you see the living entity. If he's alive, the living entity's there. And he's under the guidance of the super soul, directing the wanderings of all living entities to find your house, the postman, so you can get your bill delivered. So he's directing the wanderings. And you see that he's also under the care, and I'm also under the care. So what am I to know? How am I to respond? So preliminarily, just like in this verse, all the while, sometimes they call it in the meantime. And you can look at time as being mean, because when you're finished with time, then you're blissful. But in the meantime, we have to go through these conditions remembering Krishna. And chanada peace niche. Now we remember Krishna by chanting his holy name. We're building up the chanting of Krishna. So it includes all this knowledge, sat chit ananda, all the knowledge of our relationship to sambandha gyan with Krishna. So when something happens, it's distressing, but we chant Hare Krishna and we've learned how to take shelter. Because here, the Varnashram system, even if you understand it, at best, it's generally the Karmakanda section, where Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. This is how to undergo your material condition in such a way that you'll be improving your life's condition. Because generally, the possibility is there. When life isn't so hard, you can spend more time in Krishna consciousness. However, the prohibition that we find says if you don't finish in this life, you'll come back in one of two conditions. Do you remember? You either come back as a rich man's son or daughter, the silver spoon thing. But we find that's always not so advantageous because most rich children become spoiled. They think everything is easy and they don't know how to work hard. Prabhupada one time said, from luxury comes poverty. He says, one generation works very hard and accumulates a large sum of money. He says he works so hard, so when he has his children, he wants to give them the things he didn't have. So he gives them everything. And he's very happy to give them everything. So the children, they get everything, but they don't get the work ethic. They don't learn how to work. They generally become degraded. So the next generation, the money's gone, and they don't know how to work, and they become poverty-stricken. So from luxury comes poverty. So the same idea, every time you get a good opportunity, if you don't use it properly, it can degrade you. So the idea of the Varnashram is how to use everything properly so you don't have that condition. But it's Kali Yuga. What's that, Murphy's Law? Does anybody know Murphy's Laws? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And then he builds on it a little bit more, that it's inversely proportionate to, like, if you forgot something, I forgot my so-and-so as you're driving down the street, how far you go is proportionate to how important it was. So if it's very important, you'll go very far before you remember. If it's not so important, you'll remember it even before you left the house so you can get it. So that's bad luck. So you may think he just made that up, but it's actually in the Bhagavatam. You know the verse? We quote it sometimes. In the age of Kali, Mandasamanda Matayo, Mandabhagya? So what's Mandabhagya? Bad luck. He's got bad luck. So there he is. Murphy's been Bhagavatamized. He's in there, so... if I had a nickel for every time I did something, you know, it would be a rich man. So the idea is, if you can turn every difficulty you have into an opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness, just think how many opportunities we all have. Anyway, I'll read the verse again and then ask if there's questions or comments, or we'll go over the end. And thank you for your kind attention. Sri Hamsa said, each of the four social orders headed by the Brahmins was born from a different combination of the modes of nature, from his face, arms, thighs, and feet of the Supreme Lord in his universal form. Thus, the four spiritual orders were also generated. And I think I kind of put it into a lot of context as opposed to defining each point, but I thought most of us would understand how the universal form, because it was explained in the purport. So if I left something out, you can ask about it or put it in now. Thank you, Trivikar. He's got something to say. Thank you.
Is considered a springboard for transcendence. So when you have a springboard, for example, you have a spring bowl, it helps you to make a powerful loop. And if you don't have that springboard, then you have to spring. You have to spring on your toes, and that would not give you the jump like the springboard. So really, the Varnashram, in one sense, is a good impetus, or good force to propel you toward transcendence. So
it's a social structure.
Yeah.
And the idea is that if you follow the social structure, you'll have a peaceful, prosperous life. So generally, that's very attractive. You'll be peaceful. You won't always be in anxiety. And peace, and you'll be prosperous. So you had your dharma and your artha. So you'll and your kama. So you'll have those things that are necessities without much difficulty. You won't be in anxiety all the time. You'll be a good person, and you'll get everything that you need. And at the end of your life, traditionally speaking, you would be able to be the Varnaprastha and the Sannyas because you were educated enough to see. And as I was pointing out a little bit, we learn a lot of philosophy in Krishna consciousness. We learn so many philosophies. But how much of it do we introspect to see where am I actually at? You know, how much am I a Brahmin, a Kshatriya? What do I do? What is our life like? Generally, we walk out of the store around 9 o'clock, and it's like a switch. This is your Krishna consciousness up to 9 o'clock, and now, unless you haven't finished your rounds or you do some extra work, you got so many things to do, you just go into kind of a passionate tizzy to try to get everything done. So in Varnashram, life was more peaceful. Prabhupada said you could work 3 months out of the year, and that would be enough for you to maintain everything at a high standard of comfortable living. Nowadays, that was one person. That was just... Nowadays, the husband, everybody's working 60 hours a week if they count the time they have to do it when they're... And they're still... and difficulty because of the topsy-turviness. But originally it was, and if you had that time, would you be able to spend it correctly, or would be more Facebook or something would catch you with, and you would just, your time would get captured again. So it's perfect the way it is right now for chanting Hare Krishna, having a nice morning program. Prabhupada also said an evening program, sandwich. And during the day, try to have something that you can use in Krishna service or think of Krishna while you're doing it. Different devotees have different techniques that they use, because we understand how important it is to always remember Krishna and the philosophy and engage the philosophy. Other than that, you go back into what? You go back into the bodily conception of life. Krishna says if you don't work in that consciousness but act through the bodily conception of life, then you get lost again. And then at least we have Nitya Bhagavata Seva the next day. Just have it regulated. So gradually our regulation, the sadhana, the sadhya, the goal of light, prema, pumarta, maha, it can happen. So there's a hope. There's a great hope in this Krishna consciousness movement that you can actually learn the science of transcendental loving service and stay in that consciousness all the time. We have so much support. That's the time is up. Thank you very much. All glories, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.